Well, last week I was talking with you about counsel, and I read out of Deuteronomy about how Moses' last bit of counsel, do you remember what he basically downloaded to the people of Israel in their transition in anticipation of his departure and what he wanted, the momentum he wanted to build? Do you remember what he said? He said a couple of things. Only be strong and very courageous. He said that a couple of times. And the reason he said you could be strong and courageous is because God is with you. So only be strong and very courageous is not so much self-help hype. It's not like self-improvement appeal to our humanity as much as it is an awareness of and an invitation to know that God is with us. When Moses started his deal, he said, hey, who shall I say sent me? And he answered, I am. I am that I am, you know. This is what motivated and provided hours of strength and grace into Moses' life. Equally with Joshua and the people of Israel in the first chapter of Joshua. Four times it's repeated in the first chapter, you know, the way the chapter's laid out at the beginning of the book. I suppose in the original Hebrew, when scrolls were handed generation to generation, and they would open that up, they would see this stand out in the Hebrew text, be strong and courageous, only be strong and very courageous. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, being careful to do all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. He said, have I not commanded you only be strong and very courageous? He said, in their particular case, I have point A to point B for you. I have a plan on the in-between. I want to bring you through. I want to provide some promises for you. And this is the atmosphere that I want you to germinate in. This is the atmosphere I want you to marinate in. This is what I want your thought life to become preoccupied with. This is what I want your focus to be engaged in. And that is, only be strong and very courageous. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. This realization is fantastic when we understand that God is a present help in the time of need. This came in handy for me when I was lost in the ocean. And, you know, I've been to Bible school. I've been walking with God for a while. And when I was out in the water, you know what I needed? I needed God, and he was there. That's how formulaic it boiled down to. And in fact, you know, in other crises that we've been hit with, as much as we have learned systems and principles and, you know, those types of things, we thankfully have learned that this is not so much a formula-based movement. This is not a systems-based endeavor. It's a person-centered kingdom. Jesus, this person named Jesus, fully God and fully man, the Son of God, who came and he said, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me, the Lord has empowered me, the Lord has commissioned me, and I want to pass this on to you. In fact, the Bible says he's the firstborn of many brethren. You know, I get really excited when I see people commit on that level of water baptism because it's a real statement of commitment. And the young, the middle-aged, the old, people have been walking with God for a while, people who've put it off. I put it off for 3 years just because I got saved in California. I came here. I fell out of church. I came back to church. And man, when I had the opportunity, I got baptized in water. I'd been a believer. I'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I had experienced redemption. And yet, I needed that extra step of commitment. It's holy for me. And equally, when Moses told Joshua, only be strong and very courageous, that mentality, along with, because God is with you, Emmanuel, God with us, this is what happened in the upper room that fostered so much confidence in people like Peter and all the different ones that, you know, look, Peter vacillated. He said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus commended him with one of the greatest commendations of the Bible. Hey, blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. So he got a big affirmation blessing from Jesus. But then conversely, there was a certain point where Jesus was foretelling his inevitable death on the cross and his dying and rising again. And Peter said, no, Lord. And Jesus had to say, get behind me, Satan. You savor the things of man and not the things of God. imagine how discouraged Peter had to have been and how much self-loathing that had. I mean, he would have been, idiot, to himself. The incredible self-loathing that would have produced. And that yet God and his presence and the goodness of the Holy Spirit came on to Peter's life and actually even delivered him from that stuff. Wow, we know God delivers us from external attacks, and that's evident with Joshua when they went into Jericho and they took the land. We know that they had to overcome friendly fire and awkwardness throughout the relationships of their lives. But man, the biggest deal, they got set free from that amazing self-loathing shutdown that tries to deplete us from both courage and strength. Only be strong and very courageous comes when you understand that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. His everlasting arms are there for us. Can I tell you about a young man who's just faced some disappointment and he said, I'll get over it, I'm doing all right, and he's pressing on. Tonight, in our midst. I won't give him much more detail than that, but I'm honored to get to walk side by side with something like that. People have shown up, they show up. I was with a lady, we visited her husband at his deathbed. She shows up at church on Sunday with the bells and whistles, with her lipstick on, with her head up, pressing on. A lady just down the way from her, married 62 years, only away from her husband, just 10 days past. And there's this amazing strengthening courage and grace that sustains. Can I just tell you some things about this, you guys? Psalm 119, verse 24 is such a great, great truth. Your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. You know, I've had to take counsel on a number of occasions. Counselors are people who come in with perspective. By design, we as human beings are interdependent and occasionally need perspectives. Like all of our automobiles, there are blind spots. That's why it's so helpful to have people that will walk with you, like Joshua with Caleb, like Paul with Titus. Comfort came when Titus showed up. Like Priscilla with Aquila. You read about Priscilla and Aquila, an interesting couple in the Bible. As they were walking, they walked up to a guy named Apollos, and they could tell that he was mighty in Scripture, but he hadn't even been born again yet. He was, in the context of his Judaism, he was mighty in the Word of God. And they saw that, and they fanned the flames of that and introduced him to the new birth, and there's perspective that comes. God's Word is delightful, and the counsel that Moses gave to Joshua, only be strong and very courageous, that's good counsel. But the writer of Psalms says, your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Your testimonies are my counselors. So God's word is counsel to us. It'll counsel you through thick and thin. It'll counsel you off the ledge. It'll counsel you out of the ditch. It'll counsel you out of condemnation. It'll counsel you out of foolishness and into wisdom. It'll counsel you out of fear and into hope and faith. It'll counsel you out of inactivity and into fruitfulness. It'll counsel you out of stupidity and into intelligence. It says in Romans 15:4, it says, whatever was written in the earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through the perseverance and in the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. We might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. Then in verse 13 it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. These things were written for us. All these things were written in earlier times for our instruction. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter and the 16th verse says, All scripture is inspired by God, and it's profitable for a number of things. You want to hear number one? Teaching, that we're instructed for a reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Why? So that the man, woman, or child of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Yeah. adequacy is something that we all question. It's part of the human condition. In fact, as I was talking about Simon Peter, that guy felt very inadequate. He had some inferiority issues. He had some insecurities. Paul the Apostle, on the other hand, had, by his own admission, ego problems. He said, man, here's my pedigree. He was sort of boast. He was on the other side of the thing. Well, God knew how to humble the proud, and God knows how to strengthen and fortify people that are insecure. Man, he's the great leveler. And when you get in this place with God's word and his promises, they're written for our instruction so that we, listen, can be adequate, equipped for every good work. Man, it's amazing what God's called you and me to. It's amazing how ill-prepared we ultimately feel at first. But then we come into the presence of God and we draw near to his table. And what do we bring to God's table? I mean, he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And he lays out this smorgasbord of provision, righteousness, peace, and joy, the Holy Spirit to equip us, gifts that we're to covet earnestly, this amazing dynamic of prayer where we could actually, is amazing. Don't ever take it for granted. We could close our eyes and bow our heads and open our hearts and mouths and pray God's word, and he actually, his ear is inclined to the prayer of the upright. You can hear somebody's going through something and you can stand in faith for them and pray for them. And God can turn things around. You can pray for somebody all the way on the other side of the world. And it's faster than light speed. And heaven actually bothers to address it. He inhabits the praises of his people. That's why we're to go forth into his presence with rejoicing. In fact, Paul got this. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And that's what I think is great about and provisional about church corporate gatherings. We come together and we kind of out ourselves. We get out of our self-loathing and our insecurity and our introspection, and we throw ourselves amongst one another. And it's very, very, it's a God thing. He designed this. He said, do not forsake the assembly together, which is the habit of some. Isolation is very habit-forming. And in fact, all of life is habit-forming, so we might as well form good ones. And in the early church, in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Look, the word of God is inspired, and it's profitable for our instruction, for training in righteousness, so that the men and women of God could be equipped, could be adequate, can step up, not just adequate. Like Paul said, who is sufficient for these things? But then later on, he answers his own question. He is our sufficiency. Our sufficiency is from him. That, in fact, is the message of Moses. Again, it's not self-help hype. It's actually, hey, guys, step up into God's presence. One of the psalmists said, in his presence, there is fullness of joy, and his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. God is so good. He's a protector. Guy followed me into a restroom, confronted me, and asked me for money. And God gave me help. I got out of there without getting beat up and mugged. He was going to mug me. He lied to me and he manipulated me. I said, I'll go get some change. I'll be right back. I went right out of the bathroom and got the money, and he waited and I gave him some money and he left. Now, God helped me. You say, Pastor Jeff, why'd you share that? I want to tell you that God is our protector. He protected me in that situation. And I got away from it and I went, did that just happen? God just delivered me. God delivered me. We need to rejoice in that. See, that's why he says, be strong and courageous. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. He told the early church, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The writer of Hebrews, whoever they were, wrote in Hebrews 13, verse 5, that he'll never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. Oh, we've got to look at this now. I just want to give you some multitude of counsel. And the multitude of counselors, their safety. So you say, Pastor Jeff, why are you laying out such a barrage of word on us? Because the devil is laying out such a barrage of lies on you, I want to do what I can to neutralize and counter it. And it says, so that we confidently say, Hebrews 13, 6, and I want everyone to confidently say this. Throw your shoulders back, your head up, and say this out of your mouth. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? That guy was trying to, he was getting up in my face. It was weird. God delivered me. guys, we don't go to the powder room with guys now, but now I'm gonna bring my posse with me now to the bathroom. Apparently I had some Texas-sized angels around me. And God just kind of numbed me where I didn't really realize what was up, so I didn't even react. As, oh, yeah, I'll go get you some change. I'll be right back. And I walked right past it. Thank you, Jesus. I'm grateful for that. And, you know, I'm not going into that bathroom again. Is that okay? Yeah. I learn. You learn as you go. You learn as you go. Proverbs 11, 14. This is so important, and this is why I want you to get a hold of this. Because your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. They are my counselors. Oh, I've had to take counsel from, you know, when you're building, you take counsel from builders. When you are going through a health issue, you counsel with doctors and professionals who understand these things. When you're dealing with paperwork, you take counsel from an attorney or you take counsel from a tax professional, you take counsel. I've enjoyed counsel. I'll talk to a pastor when I need spiritual advice. I even talked to a guy that didn't want to talk to anybody, and I asked him some questions, and he backpedaled, but he gave me a little bit of an answer, and I'm glad I asked him. He was looking for where to walk away from me. He was one of those antisocial type ministers, but I still got a good answer. But ultimately, let me tell you, I've never had a pushback from this book. I've never had a cold shoulder from this book. I've never had warpage or distortion from this book because God, the Holy Spirit, promised he would always and only guide us into all the truth. So then, therefore, we could trust him to help us with correct biblical interpretation, and we could trust him to have sound doctrine, to be able to deflect doctrines of demons and warpage and distortion. And we don't follow the voice of the stranger. We know the master's voice. The voice of a stranger we will not follow. We get stubborn and adamant about this. Stomp your feet on the ground. In Jesus' name, we're going to take counsel from God's word. And it makes us adequate and equipped for every good work. And God, be assured of this, according to Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, the people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And that, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, you are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. The other day I was visiting someone in the hospital. In the hospital there were two gospel tracts on the table. I took one of the tracts because I'm fascinated by the way people distill ideas in gospel literature, and it was very succinct, and I wanted to learn from it, and I did get enriched by it. I put it in my coat pocket, and then I was traveling. While I was traveling, I was in an atmosphere with a 1980s glam hair metal band. And God prompted me, give this to this guy. There was no opportunity, and I felt awkward. You know, you have this invisible barrier of fear that presents itself right when you're getting ready to step out and do something. And I think one of the first things that we are put off by is the idea of rejection. I think we get freaked out about that. I was working through this, and so there really wasn't an opportunity here. Then there really wasn't an opportunity. Then they disappeared, and I thought, well, oh, man. And then I walked around the corner, and then they weren't there, and then I walked over, and there they were. And so I walked over to him. I said, hey, man, hey, I just want to give you this. He goes, what is it? I said, it's about Jesus. He started laughing. I said, no, seriously, you're going to really like it. And he put it in his pocket. So I thought, thank you, Jesus. You made me adequate for that good work when I was pathetic in my response. I was numb. I was not really prompt. I wasn't very obedient. And yet God's mercy is there for us all. How good is God, you guys? He is so merciful and he's so good. It's amazing. The Bible says when we're weak, then we're strong. It's not about us producing some sort of a bravado or some sort of a style or performance. What really happens is all scripture is inspired by God. Your testimonies are my delight. They're the men of my counsel. Young people, listen, in Psalm 119, it talks about laying up the word in your heart that you might not sin against him. It says, in your word I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's a sin suppressor. In Psalm 19, verse 11, it says, moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. It sets you up warning signs and hazard signs, and also creates targets and goals and produces amazing reward. When you obey God, stuff happens. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. There's victory in the multitude of counselors. Now, you marry Proverbs 11:14 to Psalm 119, verse 24. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. And then Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in the abundance of counselors, there is victory. Then what it really, if God's word is our counsel, then in the multitude of that counsel, there is safety and there is victory. You guys get so packed with God's word in season and out of season. Then when you're lost at sea in New Zealand, the blessing of God is present for you. When you're in a situation, we were driving in a car, and we came up over a hill, and there was a sheet of ice, as often happens here in Missouri, and cars were sliding into cars. So we got in this highly technical safety prayer based on Psalm 19, based on Psalm 1, and here's what we prayed. Jesus! We all added to it, help! We had all the kids in the car. We were driving in this front-wheel drive, two-wheel drive car, and the tires, you know, were broken in. And the kids were little, and we spun around, and even a squad car came flying over. It was on call, and then he had his lights on, and he was responding to the call. But then he, too, I mean, we prayed for him, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And we stopped right up by the pileup, and I turned around and I went, kids, this is why we're serving Jesus. Fill yourself up with the word. Why? Because it's inspired by God. It's God breathed. It's from heaven. In fact, the Bible says no prophecy of scripture is of their own manufacture. That's why it's so fascinating. That's why you could take counsel with the word of God, and it's inspired. It's profitable for correction, for training in righteousness, so you may be adequate, fully equipped for every good work. Fully equipped for every good work. Well, I bought this book, and it's a promise book. And what it is it's topical. Everybody say topical. Now, there are a lot of ways to read God's word. You read book by book, line upon line, for doctrine, precept upon precept, and for topics, here a little, there a little. And you want to get as much out of the Bible as you can. You approach it in a variety of ways. First of all, as the whole counsel of God from Genesis to Revelation, you acknowledge the Word of God is the Word of God, and you understand the inerrancy of Scriptures, and it's inspired by God, and it's profitable. And so it's worth giving your life to the reading and the study and the meditation on God's word. And then you study you read about Genesis, and it's the story of the history of the beginnings. Goes in and talks about Noah, talks about Abraham. It goes all the way to Joseph at the end of the book. It's fantastic. Then you read about Exodus, and you read about how God delivered Israel from the bondage and all the kind of experiences in the wilderness and Moses' life with the burning bush and so forth. Leviticus, the law, and all the specifics and the parameters that God lays out, and the things that God likes and the things God doesn't like. Deuteronomy and Joshua, Judges. You get up to chapter 6 of Judges, and you read about Gideon, the reluctant guy who got a word from God, and how God's word stabilized him. So then you see all these things are written for our instruction, and then you realize faith, it comes by hearing, and it's hearing what God has said and then believing him enough to act on what he has commanded. Faith is hearing what God has said and believing him enough to act on what he has commanded. The heroes of faith did so in the face of tremendous opposition. The heroes of faith were strong and courageous. I mean, the Jews emerged in a time of amazing hostility, as did the early church. And so that you don't get tormented in your particular time zone, the things that were written in earlier times were written for our instruction, so that through the perseverance and the endurance of scriptures, we might have hope. And then we read about how these words, and in the multitude of these words, there's safety and there's victory. Then it makes you want to just meditate on his word, whether you feel like it or not, in church or when you're out on the bench, when you're going through trouble or when you're doing great. Stay in the word. Life and death is in the word. I mean, it'll see you through. There's life in the word. And the entrance of his word gives light. It gives understanding, gives guidance. It's amazing. It'll make the simple wise. The entrance of his word will change the way we think. And we've been given a tremendous amount of clear information from God. For example, you read in the Bible about how Jesus went about healing people, then it clears up the question, is healing for everybody? He healed all who were oppressed by the devil, so the answer is healing is for everybody. Is salvation for everybody? He desires no one to perish, but all to have everlasting life. It's available. Not everybody gets saved. Not everybody gets healed for various reasons, but the healing is there for us. And as for me and my house, we're going to take hold of it, and we're going to stand on the promises of God. So, line upon line, precept upon precept. One day I got up and I had my Bible promise book, and I did a whole study in this. It's divided up into all kinds of topics. When you're in a situation and you need to study about some particular area, like for healing, I like a compilation of healing scriptures to be able to look right at them and read them. And this has those things itemized and documented. Well, there's even one area in this book about forgiveness. So I did a whole bunch of underlines about that. And then there's one about God loving us. So I did a whole bunch of underlining and wrote notes on my Bible promise book. Then I took it with me, and Patsy and I were on a day off, and we were out of town, and she wanted to let me go to a place where I get refuge, and then I wanted to take her to a place where I thought she would get refuge. And I won that day. So we went to that place, and I had my Bible promise book. And we went to this place, and we sat down, and we had this meal. God led us to the certain place. And it was not without resistance. Remember how much conflict we had spiritually to get to that place. Well, we got to that place, and as we sat there, Patsy was looking at me. She started going into this mode with God. So while we were eating, they served us this coffee, and it would look like it was in a bird bath. It looked like it was about 3/4 of a gallon. And so we were sipping coffee, and then she said, we're not supposed to go yet. And I said, okay, so we waited, we delayed. And then she took my Bible promise book, and she walked off. And then she came back without my Bible promise book. She said, I felt led to give away your Bible promise book. But she's getting even because I gave away one of her Bibles while we were witness, two of her Bibles, but who's counting? Anyway, long story short, God set us up in the midst of this large population area to cross paths in this particular moment with this particular person at this particular time. And it was because and due to the fact that God is an equipper and that it is his nature to coexist with people of faith that will walk with him and that he will invite us to be led by his Holy Spirit and invite us into being adequate for every good work. And that our steps are actually ordered by the Lord. And this is what I want you guys to land on. When we read about Joshua and Caleb, we know, well, they were conquering Jericho and they were taking the land. And our calling is a bit more subtle than that. We all have our duties in the kingdom. But yet, in a very similar situation, God is calling us to have a multitude of counsel packed into our spirit. Why? Because it's profitable. It's all inspired by God, and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Why? So that the man, woman, or child of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Filled, prepared. In fact, you're being prepared for some things that you don't realize. Life's dealt you some weird hands. You've played them. You're working it out. You're working out your salvation with fear and trembling because God is at work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know that he that's begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Christ. Getting from here to there is called the fight of faith. It's not for sissies. We're not playing wiffle ball. It's not easy, but it's good. And yet in reality, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. He invites us, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. There's soul refreshing. There's fine tuning in his presence. When Moses said, guys, I just want to, as I tag, you're it. Only be strong and very courageous. When Joshua took hold of this, only be strong and very courageous. As we close with this service, we're taking hold of him. He's taking hold of us. And the multitude of counselors, their safety. Get your Bible, read it. If you don't know what to read, read the book of Colossians. There are four chapters. If you don't have a lot of time, read Jude. There are only like 25 verses. If you have a little more time, read Philemon. And then you have an endorphin rush that you read two books of the Bible. If you want to get back to loving the Bible, go to Psalm 119 and spend some time in there. It'll take you a while. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. But man, it'll refresh you big time. One night, Patsy and I read the whole book of Psalms for an assignment at our class. From chapter 1 all the way to the last chapter, it took us all night. My brain locked up so many times, but my spirit was refreshed. Let's all stand to our feet. I want to pray for you. Say this with me. Only be strong. Very courageous. Now, I want to pray that you have a fresh hunger for God's word. Because the Bible says, blessed are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you shall be filled. I pray you get an insatiable craving for God's word. I pray it becomes so central in your heart and your mind that you just find your way to it. And, you know, sometimes you got to just go and do a little light reading to push the reset button on your brain. And don't feel bad about that. My mother-in-law was a wonderful, committed Christian, and she really knew the word. But she'd occasionally read a relaxing article in a magazine or a simple novel or something, and she always felt kind of guilty about it. But I actually think it pushed the reset button so she wouldn't be overly heavy. I even have a friend named Johnny who was super, he loved the word, and he used to read it like eating a stack of steaks. I mean, he was like Apollos. He was mighty in Scripture. Well, I think in order to get spiritually strong, you got to take the Bible for all it is, take these topical books and get a hold of them. How many of you guys have something like this? You know, when I was a new Christian, I understood that Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, he got exhausted so I wouldn't have to. I mean, that guy burned his eyeballs out looking up every verse in the Bible before computers. But I'll tell you, at this stage of the game, you can download an app and you could look up verses, make sure they're in context, make sure you're not cutting and pasting and that you're looking at them in light of the whole perspective of it. God will help you with that. But do it. Get in the Word. Study the Word. Meditate on the Word. Ponder the Word. Day and night, being careful to do all that's written in it. Your leaves will not wither, and whatever you do will prosper. Father, I thank you that when the word goes in us, it's good for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man, woman, or child of God may be adequate, sufficient, prepared, equipped. How many of you have had opportunities come that you didn't expect and God helped you through it? How many of you anticipate the probability that God wants to do some things through your life before you die and even after you die? Did you know that even though you're dead, you'll still speak? You know your testimony is going to reverberate through the generations? Because a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. I mean, what you're living in, I would be wrong to say it's just for this time only. You are eternal. And what you do is going to have impact not only in this life, but for eternity. It'll echo throughout eternity. And your testimony that's forming and growing, that's being forged through the fires and challenges of life, matters and is actually quite important. Your individuality is quite extraordinary, actually. It's an amazing thing. The Bible says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're made in God's image and you're made for his purposes. Get a hold of that. Be enriched by that. Forget what lies behind. All the great things and all the hard things, and press on with this new, renewed sense of confidence and expectation that God will order your steps. Even when you're exhausted, even when you're overwhelmed, Paul the Apostle, he had to do things when he was tired. He had battles from the outside, fears from within. Aren't you glad he was honest to admit that he had these kinds of, this configuration of bombardment? And then the idea, but then Titus, God comforted them through that situation, through the coming of Titus. That's interesting to me. The idea that God has fashioned you and me to be carriers of his presence, to be carriers of good news. I'm the product of a contact with somebody who shared good news with a teenage hitchhiker at 1:30 in the morning in Southern California, in between here and there, randomly shared the gospel with me, and I got saved. I know a guy that's in this meeting tonight that was discouraged in a parking lot, and I know somebody who walked by him and had a word for him. You know, anxiety in the heart of a man could weigh it down, but a good word makes it glad. There's one who speaks rashly as the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. You don't want to be super, you don't want to cheapen your praise by overdoing it, but you don't want to not share either. I'm concerned in the church if people hold back. Be bold. I held back just the other day, and God still got me to the hair metal guy. And God worked it out. I was like, well, God, what if he, it's just not about him rejecting me. I'm a fool for Christ. So, whatever. And God just gave me, and I thought, God, you are so kind to me. I do not deserve how good you are to me. Right? And I'm just so grateful. I walked away and thought, well, God helped me to be obedient on that one. Thank you, God, for that. Who in here is glad that God does that? Who's in that category where you need God like that? I mean, if you're super professional, awesome, you didn't need this message. But in case you're a human being and you need the grace of God, I want to tell you, it's there in ample supply. And by the way, he's going to get so much glory, because we're not going to come in and go, hey, man, wasn't I awesome? Our testimony is, God, you are so good, and your mercy endures forever, and your grace is sufficient. You're the Father of mercies, and you're the God of all comfort. And I thank you for that. You never leave us nor forsake us, and you will not fail us. You're with us in trouble. None of these things can separate us from your love. If God's for us, who could be against us? Father, I pray strength and blessing in this group tonight. I pray they have a tremendous weekend. I pray that we have so much impact in the upcoming months. God, I thank you for your blessing pouring out on this place. I thank you, God, for people that are faint, exhausted. You give strength to the weary. You give power to the faint. And I thank you for strengthening each person in this place. Take a deep breath. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for strengthening each person in this place with supernatural strength. God, if there's someone here that's not saved, I pray they would surrender their life to you. If they're skeptical, then God, I pray they would just step out and just analyze the possibility of your existence. And they'd be willing to at least forfeit their high posture and just say, well, God, if in case you are real, please show me. We're in the show me state, and I pray you would give signs and wonders to confirm your word, and that hearts would be turned to you. If you need Jesus to come into your life, ask him to right now. You need God to forgive you, just humble yourself and invite him to just wash things clean. Begin a new work in you right now. I pray for strength and fortification in your life in Jesus' name. I pray for healing and wholeness to come. We push back the oppression of the devil in Jesus' name. Amen.